Okay, good afternoon. This is Edward Troy, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in again to another episode of A Weight Off Your Shoulders. And in my studio, I have Peter Goldstein of Hippocrates Docs. Peter, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Edward. Thank you for having me here, and good afternoon, everybody.
Fantastic. I just want to say it's a really unusual name that you have. Not really unusual for people in health and wellness, but just ever so briefly explain the meaning behind Hippocrates and why you chose that name, Hippocrates Docs, and then like the two parts to that.
You bet. Thank you for that. So Hippocrates is the father of Western medicine. He was an ancient Greek doctor, and he authored the Hippocratic Oath that doctors now take, which they live by and practice by, that says that they'll be helping people and do no harm, and they're dedicated to their profession and dedicated to everybody's health. Also, we have been quoting Hippocrates as having said, "Let food be thy medicine." So we're at a time in the world here where actually food has not been medicine, and food is very powerful either in healing or making us sick. So in our current condition, we have a situation where doctors actually don't get trained in nutrition. They're simply trained in pharmaceuticals and procedures. And it's time for us to really realize that in this world we have so much chronic disease and illness, and it can all be prevented and reversed with food and lifestyle. So we've dedicated our work to helping people understand that there are alternatives to the drugs that everybody takes for illness, and these drugs lead to a path of more drugs, more procedures, more illness, more obesity, and never reverse actually any diseases. So once somebody's, let's say, diabetic and they start taking insulin and medications, it's just a path of more and more and worse, while so many doctors have now shown that diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is most of the time absolutely reversible. So in a matter of weeks and a month, somebody can start getting off some of the medications they're on, rather than keep getting worse and worse. And so we recognize the doctors, honor the doctors that have pioneered and shown all this research. It goes back several decades at this point, and it's absolutely miraculous and amazing.
All right, fantastic. I think it's really important that the audience have an idea of what that means and why it's why you have that name. I want to ask you now, all right, just briefly, where you were born, how did you get to where you are now, one step at a time, here and there, third stone from the sun?
Well, thank you for that. So actually, I was born in Transylvania in Eastern Europe, and I was 12 when my family moved to the United States. We moved to Cleveland, and I spent most of my adult life then in Cleveland. Went to school and high school in Cleveland. Looking back at my life, I think having been born in Transylvania, which is actually part of Romania and which was communist, I've grown up with some very intense brainwashing. So the government there was very much anti-capitalist and
it was communist. Ceausescu, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. It was really a police state, but they called it communism, and they had mind control. And, you know, having grown up there, they were constantly telling me how bad capitalism is. And my parents, they were always afraid of being put in jail if they told me any different. So they had to let it happen. And for me, this is so significant because at this point, I'm finding that perhaps a form of brainwashing is what's keeping people ill and keeping the chronic diseases going, because I think it's kind of a form of brainwashing to have all the advertising we get. So, for instance, milk does a body good. That's totally false. Yet the milk industry will spend $250 million a year to tell people falsehoods about benefits so that they can sell more milk.
Yeah, it's one of the things I had. As many people on the show know, I'm a vegan, and I'm familiar with the Uppsala study that was done in Sweden. That was a pretty wide longitudinal study where you had lots of people from Uppsala, a city in Sweden, which has one of the highest amounts of, dairy consumption on a per capita basis in the world. And as you're alluding to, the dairy industry is saying that, you know, milk does the body good, implying that it's good for you for bone density and things like that. And yet, the people who consume the most amount of dairy in Sweden have the highest levels of or statistical probabilities or possibilities of getting osteoporosis. Is that what you're finding too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Osteoporosis and so many other things. Milk has really no beneficial qualities, for instance, and has been shown in many, many, many studies as to how detrimental it is. And especially, so milk itself is only meant for baby cows, not for humans, and it causes all kinds of difficulties and illness. And then on top of that, we have the milk industry adding so many hormones and antibiotics to milk that it's absolutely crazy. You know, we have noticed for a long time now that girls reach puberty much earlier and they start developing breasts much earlier, and that's because of the hormones in the milk. And it's gotten so bad. I was recently talking with a pediatrician, and she's telling me that they're now finding 12-year-old girls with breast cancer, and they attribute that to hormones in milk. The milk industry, they're motivated to make money, and in that process, you know, the more they can do to get more milk and bigger cows sooner and faster, the more money they can make. So that's really all they're concerned about is milk production and meat production so they can maximize their profits. And they, unfortunately, don't really look at the health issues that it's causing our population.
Dude, let me ask you, because there is so much, talk about, things like, you know, the keto diet and this paleo diet stuff. And when I take a look at some of those things that you and you go back and you start discussing what, for instance, would be a paleo diet, that would not have included dairy. So milk consumption, in other words, where human beings are sucking the milk out of another species of mammal, which is kind of, when you put it in those terms, kind of crazy to be doing. And, you know, so if humans needed cow's milk, how on earth were we able to evolve and get to where we are now for a couple million years before that when we weren't? So that would immediately deny any possibility that, quote, we need milk as a human species. Cow's milk specific, or any kind of other mammalian milk. I mean, I understand babies getting mother's milk, human mother's milk.
Absolutely. And, you know, all the research and many thousands of studies at this point have shown that milk is just part of it. There are other foods that cause disease. So all animal protein actually causes disease. Back 20, 30 years ago, Dr. Campbell, a PhD nutritional researcher, he was doing research on cancer cells in the lab, and he found that animal protein made cancer cells thrive while plant protein killed the cancer cells. So it's really all animal protein has been proven to be detrimental, as well as processed foods, so all the chemicals that we get in our processed foods. So processing food really means removing the nutrition, the nutrients, and adding chemicals. And that's not what our bodies need. Our bodies don't need all the chemicals. We need the nutrition and a whole array of micronutrients. So really, at the end of the day, the work is about supporting our immune system. So looking at the nutrients, at the vitamins, at the proteins, at the fiber that our bodies need, and giving our body, giving our immune system the tools so that the immune system can take care of our bodies. Our bodies are amazing machines, and our immune system has infinite intelligence about how to take care of the body. But the way the standard American diet is, the way most people have gotten to eat, we deny our immune system the tools that it needs to take care of our body.
Yeah, you're bringing up you know, stuff about like animal protein, and again, even through evolution, there is not a whole lot of evidence that indicates that, you know, our human ancestors coming from the division between the Australopithecines and I guess the genus Homo, like I think it was like 3.2 million years ago, humans were not at that time big game hunters. Maybe opportunists, and you know, and coming down out of the trees, maybe 7 million years before that, the idea of eating any kind of animal was probably not a good idea, because if you're on the ground, there were cats that would probably turn you into you know, nine lives, you know, dinner, and so if people realized that evolution has not taken that out of us, and that we've perhaps evolved somewhat and extremely slowly towards this idea of having supplemental animal protein. And as a vegan, I don't supplement my meals with any kind of animal proteins. You're a vegan too, I would imagine, under the circumstances.
Absolutely. So we are plant-based, which is no animal protein, which is a lot like vegan. We know and really in our movement and in this way of this lifestyle, we really do it for three reasons. We find that vegan or plant-based means healthier for humanity. It's also healthier for the animal kingdom, because we don't kill the animals, and it's hugely better for the earth. So we find that, for instance, most people really don't know this, but it takes about 2,000 gallons of water to get a pound of hamburger meat. And we've deforested the Amazon so we can raise cattle for hamburgers. And you know, the average American takes, and I've seen these numbers range anywhere from 100 to 250 animal lives a year to feed ourselves. So being plant-based is healthier for humanity, for the animal kingdom, and definitely way better for the planet.
Well, I also want to say, you know, coming from Transylvania, where you know, I'm going to address this briefly here, but it seems like you are rejecting what I would call the cultural indoctrination that you were getting from your environment in the Ceausescu of Romania. And I think you're rejecting some of those things, which, you know, is in a sense a type of brainwashing. And, you know, I think what you've been getting to, if we start connecting some of the dots here, is that we're looking at this idea that people have been programmed to believe certain things that are actually not true. And so, you know, unlike a placebo where someone's mind can say, well, I feel better and maybe I get some healing, which is a legitimate thing, instead people are being deluded into thinking that all these things are true necessities. Where's the meat on the table? Where's the milk in my glass? And the cheese on my hamburger kind of thing. And so getting away from that, how do we break through some of the cultural indoctrination and some of the brainwashing? I don't know if there's a real difference between brainwashing and cultural indoctrination, but how do we get people, how do we break through that ice and get people to open up and see that we as a planetary species have a genetic heritage that's deeply rooted, no pun intended, in a plant-based type of a diet? How do we get through that?
That's a great question. And actually, in a big way, the reason I'm in this work is because I'd like to see more people have the personal power. And by personal power, I really don't mean have control over others or anything like that, but personal power to make decisions that really benefit us best, our health, our well-being, our joy, our happiness. So how do we break through the conditioning? That's a great question. I think for me, it seems that the first thing we need to do is have an intention and a desire to really see through all the propaganda and all the marketing and all the conditioning and all the old beliefs that we have in our culture that have grown not because they serve us, but they've grown because somebody else is making a lot of money, and from that money they can afford to misguide us with misinformation. You know, for me personally, that's really the root of it. That's really the core of it. So once somebody can say, you know, I'm going to make it my priority to see things and look at things that truly benefit me and my health. And of course, most people in the process are good. I believe we're all really good inherently and naturally. And so we want what's best for ourselves and what's best for other people. So once we're empowered and once we can be mindful about the decisions we're making and the choices we make, then from there we can start looking at the information, at the true research and the studies that have shown that what the reality is. And we actually have, I say, at least tens, if not 100,000 studies, but tens of thousands of studies that have shown what's healthy for our immune system and for our bodies and what's not. So making a decision to live a healthier life and then doing the research and then connecting with people who are mindful and who have made a decision to take on their own life and make their own life, their choices, their own responsibility. And we're really fortunate here in Carbondale. We have a pretty strong community that does bring this together. We have monthly potlucks every fourth Monday night of the month at the Third Street Center. And we have Dr. Greg Feinsinger, who's absolutely a local hero for this movement. He publishes an article every week in the Glenwood newspaper, and he speaks every first Monday night at Third Street Center. He does an amazing educational talk. So really what it's about, there's resources. What it's about is making that commitment, making that decision to take care of ourselves, and then looking for the resources and the information that support this change of lifestyle.
Okay, because that, I honestly feel like that is, as someone who, you know, is in that realm, that is one of the biggest things to overcome is this belief in mythology, or, you know, the cultural programming, or, you know, cultural indoctrination. And one of the things that I've seen lately are these, I mean, you know, I'm usually watching sporting events or news or some old movies, but they'll put these commercials on by this one company called Applebee's. And one of the things that I thought, oh my God, this is, I hate to say, but it's brilliant programming, manipulation of the mind by linking nostalgic music to, you know, a plate full of grease and, you know, just really toxic, nasty-looking, to me, very nasty-looking food that I view as almost like a pollutant to my body. And they've gone back, I guess, and they've purchased the rights to some songs that were done in the 1970s and in that whole decade. And it's appealing to our sense. Oh, I remember that song. Yeah, it was a great song. I love that music. I grew up with that. I was in high school, and I remember dancing with you know, Betty Lou and Carol Too or whatever. And, you know, and then so you have that link through the music, and then all of a sudden you're watching this commercial with a bunch of fried chicken or buttered up shrimp or some, you know, slab of of meat that, you know, that came from some animal, and it just, it almost like normalizes it. And I think that's one of the, you know, really, you know, horrifying example of excellence in you know, programming, which I view as very, very dangerous. But nevertheless, people just keep doing it. So I do want to address what kinds of programs are you running at Hippocrates Docs?
Well, thanks for that. We just piloted a 12-week program that we call My Health, My Priority. And it's the program is 12 weeks of a weekly meeting with a facilitator. It's groups of 6 to 10 people. And each week for 12 weeks, we have a different topic. We have actually the program's based on what different doctors across the world have recommended about how to be healthy and how to eat healthy. And actually, it's a whole lifestyle program. So we start out with a unit on mindfulness. And so then in the first unit, we look at what mindfulness means, look at some instances of things to be mindful of. And each participant then sets a goal for a lifestyle change to be more mindful. So every week we add a new goal. And of course, mindfulness is the first, but then a lot of it is about the food that we drink. So exercise certainly is part of it, but we have a unit on cruciferous vegetables, for instance. So then our participants...
We say cruciferous vegetables... I'm not sure if everyone understands what that means, but go ahead, just give some examples real quick.
cruciferous vegetables and
like broccoli and stuff like
absolutely.
That. Broccoli, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, turnips,
absolutely,
rutabagas, and you know, stuff like that.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of research that shows that cruciferous vegetables have properties to prevent cancer. And so, for example, in the case of cancer, you know, we all have, the research is showing that we all have cancer cells all the time. So it's not that we have a cancer cell and our body can't deal with it. It's if we have the proper nutrition, the research has shown that we can totally get rid of cancer cells and they'll die and we can feed healthy cells and we don't have to get ill and be diagnosed with cancer. But so that's an example, one of our 12 units. And then we do the education, what are cruciferous vegetables, what their properties are. And then we invite people to set a new habit to include more cruciferous vegetables in their diet. So this way, by the end of 12 weeks, we'll have done several things. For me, one of the important ones is that people actually learn that they can have control over our lifestyle. So we're not doomed with the programming. We can change it. And at the end of 12 weeks, people will have 12 new habits that they can go on with the rest of their lives to be healthier. And the outcomes have been amazing. People have lost weight and changed their blood chemistry and feel much better and more energetic. So that's...
Okay.
That's an example. And now what we're doing is we're rolling that program out nationally, and we're training facilitators across the country to facilitate this program.
All right, fantastic. I'm glad you brought up cruciferous vegetables because they have a substance or substances called sulforaphanes, which have been implicated in a good implication in preventing cancer and reversing some of those I guess, genetic disorders that we don't want to have. What are some of the other units that you have going?
Well, we certainly have one on exercise and one on water. For me, the most fascinating unit is the gut microbiome, which is a frontier in research now and is getting to be an important hot topic. It turns out that we actually have bacteria in our gut, and we have more bacteria in our gut than we have cells in our bodies. And research is showing how very important that environment, that bacterial environment is for our digestion, for our health. I've seen some people looking at intelligence in our gut microbiome. So the old thing of a gut feeling, we're getting research that there is truth to that. There is intelligence and our gut feeling. Maybe we need to trust that more, but it's amazing your research about that. So we have a unit on that and, of course, the others.
All right, fantastic. How do we reach you? What's your contact info? We got about 30 seconds left.
Sure. Thank you for that, Edward. Well, come visit our website, HippocratesDocs.com, and we offer a free 12-week educational program. You can sign up for 12 weeks, a weekly email with a different topic each week, and try a new habit every week and get some more education. And you can find me through the website, and that's where we do our work. Thank you.
Peter, thank you so much for coming in to my studio. A pleasure to see you again, and looking forward to more interactions. And thank you for being a vegan.
Well, thank you, Edward, and I look forward to it.
All right, fantastic.